get dissatisfied with what God has for us, and we end up turning back. And that's what I want to preach about this morning, is turning back to Egypt. Turning back to Egypt. In Numbers chapter 14, beginning in verse 3, we'll read two verses, 3 and 4, the Bible says, "And wherefore hath the Lord brought," this is the children of Israel complaining, "wherefore hath the Lord brought us in unto this land," that's the promised land, "to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" Of course, we know the story, and the answer is no, it wasn't. "And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt." Let us return into Egypt. Turning back to Egypt is what we're going to preach about this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that we can learn something from it and get challenged and stay focused and turn to you instead of back to our old life, instead of back to the world. We ask that the example you gave to us in Scripture would be helpful to us, and we'll be able to get a lot of lessons from it. And I just ask that you guide me, give me the strength that I need to preach, and may the message be clear, and give us just what we need today, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Lord had a wonderful life waiting for the children of Israel. I mean, they were going into the promised land. You know, the promised land, that was pretty good stuff. And here they are on the verge of being able to go in, and they didn't want to. They said, no, let's go back to Egypt. Now, Egypt in the Bible represents the world. It represents bondage to sin. What were they when they were in Egypt? They were slaves. They were slaves, and they were in hard bondage. And what on earth would possess them to want to go back to bondage? Well, of course, they weren't thinking about going back to bondage. But they were going to head back to bondage if that's where they went. That's what they were going to end up in, bondage. And they were thinking everything was going to be nice and better back there. No, God had something so much better for them, but they wanted to go back to their old life. That's the whole theme of the message today. God's got more for you. He's got wonderful things planned for you. But why on earth do we want to go back to our old life sometimes? It's absolutely ridiculous. It's insane. And many Christians do the same thing. We look at them and say, wow, these guys are foolish. But many Christians do the same thing. They get saved. They begin to grow. They experience some real changes in their life. I mean, you can see God working them. They're happy. They've got peace that they've never had before. And then they go back to sin. The very sin that enslaved them. The very sin that brought them misery. The very sin that destroyed their life and caused them finally to look to God. They go back to it. And what causes people to do that? Well, we'll look at some lessons here from the children of Israel. And we'll see what causes people to do that. Because what caused the children of Israel to do it is what causes us to do it. And God wants a lot better for us than what we want for ourselves sometimes. So I want just first of all to look at the first point is this. The reasons for turning back. Why on earth were they wanting to go back? Why do you want to go back? Now there's a lot of reasons people want to go back to their sin. But we'll consider a few from this account. The first one is this. If you turn back to Numbers chapter number 10. I'm going to spend a lot of time in chapter 10 and 11, mostly 11. The first reason that they wanted to turn back to Egypt was they didn't want to leave their comfort zone. Okay? Israel had spent, up to this time, we pick it up here in Numbers chapter 10, Israel had spent about a year in the region of Sinai, and they were receiving God's law, and they were preparing the tabernacle. It was a time of instruction. It was a time of worship. It was a time of preparation. It wasn't a really difficult time. It was a time where, hey, they just were slaves. They had time to regroup, get focused on the Lord, and they were learning some things, and they had failed some tests along the way. But they didn't have any big battles to fight at that present moment. It was just time to prepare. It was kind of comfortable there in Sinai. And in Numbers chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, it says, "And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai." So now they're leaving. And the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. That's where the Lord led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So God was leading them. So now it's time to leave. I've got somewhere for you to go. I've got something for you to do. And now look at verse 13. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Yeah, everything was just going fine. And God said, it's time to get up and move. And they didn't really feel like doing that. God disturbed their comfort. It was time to start moving for God. And now look what happened down in chapter 11, verse number 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So the people, we find them complaining. They didn't like being prodded to go a little bit further. They didn't like being said, hey, you got to get moving now. You got to do something for the Lord. And I'm telling you, when you get saved, you didn't get saved to just sit like a bump on a log. God has a plan for you. It's good to learn and get some instruction. It's good to worship the Lord. But then you got to get involved and get serving Him and do something for Him. And He's going to prod you a little bit. And, you know, it's exciting to see the growth and it's exciting for me to see the excitement in some of our new converts. Some people are just, they're loving growing. I mean, the Growing in Grace class this morning we had a good attendance. And it's wonderful to see people coming out and wanting to learn more and having questions. And we can't even get through the lessons. It's just wonderful to see God working. But I'm telling you, He's not just wanting to feed you so you can just sit around and get fat and happy. He wants you to get busy and start doing something with what you've learned. It's a time of preparation, but it's a time now to get moving. And He wants to disturb our comfort a little bit. And when He does, and He challenges you to get moving and do something more for Him, don't complain. And who did He use back there in chapter 10, verse 13? Who did He use to lead them forward? Look what it says. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by who? The hand of Moses. God used the man of God to say, okay, it's time to get moving. It's time for you to step it up a notch. It's time for you to get involved. It's time for you to do more than what you're doing. And I'm telling you, the first step of just turning back to Egypt, first step of wanting to go back to the world and go back to the comfortable life is just saying, I don't want to leave my comfort zone. I don't want to go forward for God. Listen, if you're not going to go forward, you will go backwards. God wants us to get busy and get moving forward. That was the first reason that they turned back. Then secondly, we see that they turned back in their hearts. We're going to come back here to Numbers, so I hope you can keep your finger there or something. I'm going to run over to the book of Acts real quickly. Acts chapter 7. They turn back in their hearts. Acts chapter 7. Verse 34, it's talking about how the Lord, we'll just read it. It says, I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. So he's saying to Moses, I've seen my people. They're in bondage. I want to deliver them. And so he said, I'm going to send you, Moses, to go deliver them. And he does. And so you can read through that a little bit. Well, let's skip on down where it says that in verse number 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church of the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give to us. In verse number 39 is what I want you to see. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt. Now this is back while they were still in Sinai. While they were still in Sinai, before they started moving and journeying, they had already in their hearts turned back to Egypt. I'm telling you, when something's in your heart, it's a whole lot easier to start doing something. You start entertaining wrong thoughts in your heart, pretty soon you're going to have some wrong actions. You better be careful what you think about. Their problem was that they were looking backward instead of forward. And God says we need to guard our heart. He says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep, that means guard, protect your heart. Boy, our heart utters a lot of wicked things. It utters doubt, blasphemy. It utters perversion. It says, oh, look at that, do this. And it is full of corruption. Don't allow idols to draw your heart away. That's what happened there back in Acts chapter 7. They said, hey, let us make us an idol. And they made that golden calf. But something's not, you know, it's got to be in your heart before it becomes an action. Remember when Lot was told to leave Sodom? Sodom was a wicked city. And God was going to destroy it. So he came to Lot and said, hey, I want you and your family to leave. And the angel had to come because they were tearing and actually literally grabbed them and brought them out. And one thing God said was, don't turn back. Don't look back. I'm going to destroy this wicked city. But we all know what happened. Lot's wife, the wickedness of Sodom was still in her heart. And she looked back, and we know she turned to a pillar of salt. And then later, Jesus in the gospel said, remember Lot's wife. What was he saying? Be careful not to turn back in your heart. She didn't get back to Sodom. She never made it back to Sodom, but her life was still destroyed because it was in her heart. Don't entertain thoughts of going back. Don't do it. So they turned back in their heart. It's a third reason. In chapter 11, verse number 4, they followed the wrong crowd. The Bible says in verse number 4, chapter 11, Numbers 11, verse number 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? It was the mixed multitude. That's who fell a-lusting. And who were these mixed multitudes? Who was the mixed multitude? They were unbelievers who had gone with them up from Egypt. And you can read about it in Exodus chapter 12, verse 38. It says, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. In other words, these people were not strict followers of Jehovah. They were not believers. And they began lusting after other things. They started wanting things that God hadn't provided for them. What's the lesson we can learn from this? Better be careful who you hang around. Do you know why most people go back to the world? It's because they got wrong influences in their life. You got some friend that just keeps pulling you back. Some friend that just says, hey, let's go do this. Let's go look at this. Let's get involved here. And in Exodus 23, he told them in verse 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. So, and if you don't separate from the wrong crowd, you're going to end up being influenced by them. You got friends that drink, what are you going to do? You will drink. Either you will get away from them or you will drink. You got friends who gossip, you're going to get involved with gossip unless you get away from them. You will be affected by who you hang around. And God said, don't follow them. And the reason a lot of new believers go back to their sinful ways is because they fail to get away from their old friends. God wants us to replace those wrong friends with good friends. People who are going in the same direction. Of course, the scriptures say, ask a good question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And the answer is no. We got to be in agreement. And if I've got friends who aren't in agreement with the Bible, then I'm going to be going the wrong direction. And so will you. And that's why people go back to their old ways. Because they got wrong friends. And I'll tell you, Satan's always going to have some unbeliever or some carnal Christian available to offer you what you really want. He'll always have someone there. And Israel followed that bad example. And why did they do that? Because they had already turned back in their hearts. Once it's in your heart, once you have that opportunity, you're going to start going back to it. Get it out of your heart. Why don't you put some good stuff in your heart? Amen? Why don't we fill it with the Word of God? Why don't we fill it with, you know, the Bible? I remember when I got right with God back at 20 years old, I lived a pretty bad life, and I had so much of the world just pulling on me. And I said, you know, I need help. I finally got rid of all the bad music. I replaced it with some good music. I got preaching tapes. That's back when we used cassette tapes. I still remember 8-tracks, but I didn't have preaching 8-tracks, but I had preaching tapes. I'd listen to preaching on the way to work. I'd listen to preaching on the way back from work. I'd listen to preaching on the way to church. I'd listen to preaching at church. I'd listen to preaching on the way back from church. You say, why'd you do that? Were you a nut? No, I was so affected by the world, I needed some strength, and I needed to put the right things in my heart because I had a lot of the wrong things in my heart. And you got to replace things. You got to replace the wrong friends with good friends, or they will pull you back. They will. It's so sad to see. A fourth reason is because they had misplaced desires. Chapter 11, verse number 4, again, it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. They fell a-lusting. Yeah, you will fall when you start lusting. The word lust means to long for something, to greatly desire something. In today's age, we typically, when we talk about lust, we typically think about, you know, sexual sins. And true, it is true that lust is it involves sexual sins, but it involves a lot more. It sure does. And what did they want? In this case, they wanted flesh to eat. Now, God didn't promise to give them any flesh right then. He had given them something else. We'll talk about that in a moment. But he had promised them something else. Look at in Exodus chapter, well, I'll just read it to you. Exodus chapter 3, verse 17. He said, I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. Remember, the affliction. They were in affliction. That's where they wanted to go back to. Unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Mosquitobites. No, that's not in there. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, if you got milk, you've got cattle. So you got steaks, right? Oh, yeah. You got some good food and you got milk. I probably didn't have milkshakes back then, but they probably had some good stuff. Amen. Flowing with milk and honey, they had a land prepared, waiting for them. All they had to do was go and get it. God said, I've got so much for you. I'm going to deliver you. This is way back in Exodus 3. Right when he was making the plan to deliver him. I've got something so good for you. And instead, they had misplaced desires. Instead of looking forward to the milk and honey, instead of looking forward to the meat, the flesh that God would provide, they were like, we want some now. Well, God hadn't given them anything right then. And they get all mixed up with their desires. A sure way to backslide is to not be content. They should have been looking forward to the promised land and all the blessings. But they wanted something different. Right? Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. We need to start focusing on what God wants for our life instead of what we want. Do you know God wants? He knows best. You're on the way to going back to Egypt when you start saying stuff like, well, I don't want to give up this. I want that. I want my way, not God's way. I don't want to give up my worldly music. I don't want to give up my worldly entertainment. I don't want to give up my worldly dress. I like the person I'm dating. I know they're not following God, but I like them. They're not following God. Pretty soon, you're not going to be following God. Oh, misplaced desires. A fifth reason. Oh, we find it here in verse 4 again. They had a pity party. They had a pity party. Verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again. The children of Israel also wept. They wept. I They started crying like little babies because they didn't get their way. You ever get that way?
God's not giving me what I want.
I prayed. He's not giving me what I want to have. You're heading back to Egypt. You're heading there. Start feeling sorry for yourself. And I tell you, you better realize that you're traveling the road that backsliders travel. Why can't I have what I want? They were crying.
We want flesh. We want the flesh.
That's not what God had for them. They're having a pity party, feeling sorry. Listen, if you want your way, you want to have it your way, go to Burger King. Okay? But it doesn't work that way with God. God is the King of Kings. And you don't have it your way with the King of Kings. You have it His way. And you learn to trust God that what He'll give you what you need when you need it, and His way is always right. Let me ask you, have you started feeling sorry for yourself that things aren't going the way you wanted them to go? When you start thinking that way, you're getting discontent. You're starting doubting God. You're starting to think God's not taking care of me. You're starting to find fault with God. And pretty soon, that old life's looking good again. Oh, and what happens next? We find it in verse number 5. The sixth reason was they focused on the blessings of their old life. Oh, I don't have what I want. But I remember, and that's what it says here in verse number 5. What are the first two words? We remember. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, we remember how good it was back there. You ever start thinking about the old life and how good it was back there? You know, before I got saved, I used to do this, and boy, I kind of like that. I wonder what it'd be like to do that again. Yeah, you used to get discouraged. You'd find that song that would always kind of pick you up a little bit temporarily, and you'd turn it on, and oh, it just seemed to make everything so much better. And so I wonder if that would do the same for me now. No, it won't. If you're saved, it won't. Why is it that all we remember are the good things? Quote, unquote, good things. Huh? Oh, man, I had to get up this morning and come to church. Having a hard time staying awake. I remember when I used to sleep in on Sunday mornings. Oh, I'd catch up on my sleep. Yeah, it's because you were recovering from your hangover from partying all night the night before. Oh, I remember Sunday afternoons and evenings. Man, I used to catch the ball game. It was so good. And it really changed your life, didn't it? It really did. But you've forgotten that when you come to church on Sunday evening and you hear that message that was going to help your marriage or to help you be a better parent and help you to keep moving forward for the Lord, you forgot what God was doing for you. Let me tell you something, and we'll come back to Numbers. I want you to turn over to John chapter 20 with me because there's something good here I want you to see. But I want to tell you that if you go back to your old life, you're going to find that it's not nearly as pleasant as you remembered it being. It's not. In John chapter 20, we find Peter. There's many examples about people who went back to their old life, and Peter is one of them. In John chapter 20, we can see a little similar pattern what's going on here. John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus was trying to get Peter out of his comfort zone, him and the other disciples. They had been taught, they had been instructed. Now it's time for them to move on and take a journey and do something for God, kind of like the children of Israel back then. Now look at verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So Jesus said, "The Father sent me to testify to the world. And now I'm sending you to go out there and tell others about me." Just like the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I've got a job for you to do, Peter. Okay, now let's go to chapter 21. Simon Peter, verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, to the other disciples, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught what? Nothing. He was sent to go serve. Instead, he said, oh, I used to be a fisherman. I think I'll go back and do that. I'm kind of missed that a little bit. So instead of going out and doing what God told him to do, he went back. What did he find? Nothing. Nothing. You have these great thoughts. If I just go back, stop serving God, quit on God, go back to my old friends, my old way of life, get involved with all that stuff. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be so good. My life's going to be so much better. You're going to find out exactly what Peter found out. When you go back, you'll find nothing. If you're saved, you're not going to enjoy it like you used to. And if you can go back and enjoy it and everything's just the same and you're actually enjoying it better than living life for God, then I'm doubting if you were ever saved. Because God changes people. You can't go back and enjoy it. And when you try to go back as a Christian, and some of you know it, you went back and you tried it, and it wasn't what you thought it was. Now, I'm looking at some young people who grew up in this church. You never were out in the world. Why on earth are you attracted to that garbage, that cesspool, that pit of wickedness? Why do you want to go out there and have some immoral relationship? Why do you want to see how good it is out there? It's not good. That's why people are getting saved and trying to get their life in order. Because their life stinks. They've messed up their life. And you go, well, I just am just a little bit interested. I'm not going to go very far with that. Yeah, you go a lot farther than you think you will. Oh, yeah. The problem was they wanted to go back to Egypt because they were thinking about all the good things back then, the blessings of their old life. Well, before I came to church, I didn't feel guilty all the time. Come to church now, I feel guilty. You won't feel guilty if you just confess your sin and get right with God. And guilt's actually a pretty good thing because when you do confess it and get it right with God, you can start heading in the right direction. You can start enjoying God's blessings. Oh, yeah. The next thing, reason why they went back is because not only did they focus on the blessings of their old life, they forgot the bondage of their old life. Verse 18. This is Numbers chapter 11. Verse 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. Now God was going to give them their desire. It wasn't going to be what they wanted in the end. He says, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? Now listen to what they said. For it was well with us in Egypt. Now wait a minute. Was it well with them in Egypt? Was it really well with them in Egypt? No. They were slaves. Okay, Exodus 1, 13 and 14. Let me read it to you. Let me read what their life was back in Egypt. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Okay, you think you have a hard boss at work. You think he's standing over your shoulder telling you what to do all the time. These people literally had hard taskmasters with whips and would not just verbally but physically abuse them for not working up to the standard that they wanted them to work. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, hard labor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. Their life was bitter. And now here they're saying, it was well with us in Egypt. No, it wasn't. And that's what the devil gets you to think. It was better back then. No, it wasn't. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. All they were thinking about was the pleasures, and they forgot about the bondage. You know, the devil never reminds you about the oppression that you were experiencing when you served him. You know, hey, go do this again. Hey, run with those friends. Hey, you can have a little reefer. It's okay. Yeah, you can do this. It's not bad. You could just pop a few of those pills. Yeah, you won't get hooked again. Satan doesn't remind you about how you were hooked on those pills. And you were literally begging, borrowing, and stealing to get your next fix. Yeah. Oh, some of you have had people come up to you. Hey, can I borrow 40 bucks? I got this bill due. No, they need 40 bucks because that's what the street value is for some of those pain medications. Oh, yeah. You're hooked. Devil doesn't remind you of that. How quickly we forget that we were slaves to sin. And some of us, don't forget, you've been saved for a while. You look down your nose on someone else. Don't forget what your life was. You were a drunk. You were a smoker. You were immoral. Oh, yeah. You were covetous. Your spending was out of control. You were in debt over your head. Don't forget you. The devil says, hey, you know, this is good back there. No, don't forget the bondage back there. When you go back to sin, I'm telling you, you go back to a hard life. Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of the transgressors is hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to get over. It's hard to work things out. I remember years ago, this is even before I was married, I remember, the Christian life. I told you, I had a rough past. It was tough. Trying to get right with God was tough. And I was trying to live the Christian life, and it wasn't easy. And I just started thinking, you know, I am so tired of this. I just want to quit. I'm so sick of trying to do this and this and this right. Don't look at me like you never thought that. I'm just so tired of this. I just want to throw it, forget it. You know what? I got to thinking, oh, yeah, okay, Dave, and you're going to go back to what? And I looked at my life that was before. I said, that's stupid. I think I better just stick it out and see if God will take care of it. And you know, every single time he does, and every single time the hardships, when I got my heart right and did what God wanted me to do, it worked out. The problem wasn't with God, it was with me. Don't forget the hard bondage of your old life. Then they despise God's provision. Look at verse number 6 in chapter 11. This is just, it blows my mind. Now here they are, they're complaining, we want flesh to eat. It was better for us back in Egypt. Man, we had the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks. We got the leeks over here. Well, a different kind, I guess. You don't have to go back to Egypt to have leeks. But verse number 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Now wait a minute. What was manna? The Bible says it was angels' food. It was food that God gave to the children of Israel. It was heavenly food that God gave them. I'm guessing it probably tasted pretty good. And it was free. And they didn't have to work for it. All they had to do was pick it up and eat it. They didn't have to plant it. They didn't have to water it. They didn't have to weed it. You ever have a garden? Man, it's a pain in the neck, isn't it? See, all this work, I think I'll just go to the grocery store and buy some vegetables. Here they are. They had everything. It was God's provision for them. And what did they call it? Look what it says there. There is nothing at all beside this manna. They called it nothing. When you start calling what God has given to you nothing, better watch out. Man, I want a new car. Oh, I got this thing over here. Well, if that thing over there is the one that God gave you to drive, then I'd be very careful not to call it nothing. I want this. I want that. Well, we better be very careful. How ungrateful we are. If you're not thankful for the things that you have, you're backsliding, heading back to Egypt. Then in verse number 20, go back to chapter 11, verse number 20, and we'll go back here to 20. The last reason, that's my first point. And don't worry, that's most of the message. The next two points are really fast. The last reason is that why they wanted to turn back to Egypt is because they questioned God. Verse 20. But even a whole month until it come out your at your nostrils. It's talking about God's going to give them flesh. They're going to get sick of it. It's going to be coming out of their nostrils. That's some real bad indigestion right there. And it become loathsome unto you. He says, I'm going to give you what you want, and by the time you're done with it, you're going to hate it. He says, because ye have done what? Despised the Lord which is among you. You have totally disregarded and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Why? Listen, if you always say why, you're on the road to Egypt. Why do I have to read my Bible every day? Why do I have to come to church? Why do I have to come to Sunday school? Why should I have to come back for Sunday evening service? Why should I dress modestly? Why should I tithe? Why should I give up my music? Why should I stop reading those stupid, filthy magazines? I'll tell you, because they're stupid and filthy. Why, God? Well, I'll tell you why. Because God was trying to get them to the land of blessing and out of the land of bondage. That's why. And if you just believe God, that he knows what's best, and just do what he says, it all works out. That's why, because he loves you. And he wants you to have a good life. And we want to hold on to that sin. Oh, I'm not going to let this one go. Well, go ahead and stay in bondage to that thing. It's holding on to you as much as you're holding on to it. You're in bondage. You're heading to Egypt. Now, those are the reasons for turning back. Let me quickly give you two results, real quick. Two results of turning back. Look down in verse 31. The first one is they indulged in their lusts. Once you turn back in your heart, you're going to go for it. When you get a chance, when you get the first opportunity, and it's easy, you're going to go into sin. And there were, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were two cubits high upon the face of the earth. So it was a good amount of food out there. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. I mean, they had so much food. It was unbelievable. And verse 33, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere they chewed it, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. You better be careful what you want, because you might get it. And when you do, you're not going to like what you got. Once they finally had an opportunity to get their flesh, there was no restraint. They went out and just gathered and gathered and gathered and ate and ate and ate. Once you start turning back in your heart, your first opportunity, you will. One of your first opportunities, you will go into sin. You know, the Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied. You're never satisfied with looking back. You're going to want to go back. So you know what we ought to do? Stop looking. What are you going to find there? What did Peter find? Nothing. Nothing. Stop looking. Remember the bondage. I'm preaching this because I hope it can spare someone from going back and wrecking their lives and messing things up. God's been working in your heart. He's done some good things for you. Let Him keep doing it. Keep following Him. Go forward. If you don't go forward, you go backward. And the second thing, they indulged in their lusts, then they were destroyed. We just read verse 33. The Lord smote them with a very great plague. Then look at verse 34. And He called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. One of the saddest things I've witnessed in the years of ministry as a pastor, as a missionary, is to just watch people destroy their lives. You preach, you counsel, you warn, you see that they're turning back. You can see it. They've turned back in their heart. They're still there physically in church, but they've turned back. A young man got saved named Crispin, and it was a blessing. He got saved. He started changing. His life started changing. He started growing. He became faithful to church. He started coming out and going soul winning. He started getting involved. I remember we had a big work day. The only picture I have of him was at a work day of the church, and he was helping out. He was swinging my big S-wing hammer. And there's old Crispin up there. And, you know, he was growing, and he was praying that God would give him a job, and God gave him a job, a good job. He was starting to earn some good money. And I warned him, you got to be careful. Make sure when you get a job, you let them know you get a church first and all that. Don't take a job until you put out there that you're going to church. Yeah. He got that job. He got some money, and he started lusting after the things of the world. He went back to drinking, and he came home one night. He was living with his sister and brother-in-law. He came home one night, and he got in a fight. He was drunk. He got in a fight with his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law beat him to death. He died. He turned back. And what did it do? Completely destroyed his life. I remember a young lady, she got into some sin with a young man, and she was a decent girl. She was helping with in some things with the children's class in the church, and she repented. She got things right, and she was moving on. The young man, he went to go find work so he could support her. He was going to come back and marry her. She made some things right. It took him a while, though, to get a job and get established. And when he came back, he had his job. He came back to marry her. She got tired of waiting. She turned back. When she came back, she was pregnant with another child from another guy. Oh, yeah. He dropped her. She started to make things right, but then she turned back. Now she's got two kids out of wedlock. No husband. Drops out of church. Ruined life. Why? She went back. destroyed her life. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. James 1:15. It will destroy your life. You can go back, but you're going to pay for it. And what's the remedy? Well, the remedy is simple. Return to God. You turn back to your old life, your old ways. Turn around and go back to God. That's called repentance. Jeremiah said, "Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you." You know, God's mad. You want to go into sin? He's mad. If you come back to Him, He won't make His anger to fall. He says, "For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." He said in Jeremiah 3:22, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." Come back to God and He'll heal you. That's the remedy. Return to God. Secondly, go forward. How'd you get in the problem in the first place? You disobeyed God, so what do you do? Obey Him. You're going backwards? What do? Go forward. You started doing less for God? What should you do? Do more for God. You were reading your Bible less? Read it more. It's pretty simple. God's ways aren't real hard. Return to God. There's a remedy. Turn to God. Go forward. Be content with things that He gives you. If He gives you manna, don't long for cucumbers. Amen?
Oh, but the cucumbers were so good.
You know, I'm sure there were cucumbers where they were going. Okay? And where they were going, there was no bondage. You know, the devil's a master. You know, he'll give you what you want, but you'll lose what you have. He's a master at that. And the next part of the remedy is set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Stop focusing on what's here and now. Look at God. Look at the blessings down the road. Don't live for the present moment. And the last one is ask God to help you turn back to Him. You know, sometimes you want to turn back and you say, I want to, but it's just tough. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know how to do it. You know, there's some wonderful verses in Psalm 80. You know, allow God to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Ask Him. Say, "Lord, I want to come back. Help me. Turn me back to You." And this is biblical because in Psalm 80, verse 3, it says, the prayer was this: "Turn us again, O God, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We shall be delivered. I'll be delivered from my sin when You turn me." Then it says in Psalm 80, verse 7, "Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Psalm 80, verse 19, "Turn us again, O Lord of God of hosts, cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Psalm 85, verse 4, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease." God, turn me back to You. You come with that attitude, and He'll do His job. And then do your job. Have you turned back to Egypt?